as far as anonymous donation, had more, you know, people just say, wow, it's just incredible that you would consider going through surgery to give an organ to somebody that you have never met and probably will never meet. It doesn't really matter if I know who they are. They're sitting there on a wait list and could die if they don't get an organ. And, you know, I often liken it to if you saw somebody drowning, you would try to help. It's not any different.
Welcome to the Living Transplant Podcast, where we take you behind the scenes of the transplant program at Toronto General Hospital. I'm your host, Candace. Each episode, we share the powerful stories from transplant recipients and living donors, along with insights and education from leading medical professionals. On today's episode, my guest is someone whose story beautifully embodies the heart of altruism. Megan Owen Evans is a rare kind of human, a double anonymous organ donor. That's right. She gave a kidney and part of her liver to strangers, not for recognition, but because she felt she could, because someone needed help. What makes a person take that leap to endure surgery, recovery, risks, simply out of compassion? That's the very question that Dr. Abigail Marsh has spent her career exploring, and Megan unknowingly lives at the center of that research, a real-life example of the extreme altruism that Dr. Marsh has studied so closely. Today, Megan shares her story, her motivations, and what it means to live with an open heart in a world that sometimes doesn't always understand it. This conversation is a glimpse into the kind of quiet bravery that reminds us what's possible, not just in science, but in the human spirit. Please enjoy. Welcome, Megan. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
So, Megan, you have donated two organs anonymously, first a kidney and then a portion of your liver. I mean, the question that we've been talking about a lot today is why? So what motivated you to step forward each time?
So when I was in elementary school, I had a good friend who unfortunately had kidney disease and had to undergo dialysis regularly. And it always kind of stuck with me that he never got to live the life of a normal kid and play and do all the things that we all got to do after school. He always had to get treatment. And it stuck with me that if at some point in time I had a family member or you know, friend that was in need of a kidney, I would donate one. Fortunately for me, my friends and family were all quite healthy and I never had that opportunity. But when I went back to business school in my 30s, I ended up writing a paper on, you know, Canada's transplant system and organ donation. And through researching that paper, I discovered that you could anonymously donate. And as soon as I, recognized that, I thought, well, I'm going to reach out to BC Transplant and see whether I would be eligible and started the process. And I was. So I decided that I would do it. Ultimately felt that whether or not I knew the person, there was somebody in need.
Wow. And then what, between the donation of your kidney and then years later to donate a portion of your liver, how did that come about to do the other organ that is able to be donated by us living humans?
Yeah, it was almost 10 years in between. Really, I felt like my recovery from the kidney donation was great. I didn't expect that it would be, I wouldn't say easy, but that I would recover as quickly as I did and go back to being able to do everything that I've done previously. I'm very active. I got right back involved in sports really quickly after my kidney donation. I had no ill effects. And really, it made me feel very good to know that I had done something like that and helped somebody in that way. And so I ended up involved actually through a friend at UHN in Living Donor Circle of Excellence working group. And my co-chair in that group, his wife was a liver recipient.
Oh.
So through him and through the Circle of Excellence, I learned that you can donate part of your liver and it regenerates in 6 weeks or so, and that you can anonymously donate. And once I found out you could anonymously donate, I decided to reach out. I reached out to UHN, found out about the process, had to travel to Toronto to do my testing, and then was told that I was good to donate either my left or my right lobe. And that was how that began.
Wow. And going through this process, I mean, thinking about donating a kidney and then years later doing a portion of your liver, That must have been shocking and strange and odd for people who were around you, you know, family, friends. I'm sure knowing you, it wasn't a shock that you would want to do something so amazing. But how did people in your circles feel about you donating anonymously, either the first time around or the second time?
I mean, I'm really, really fortunate that I have a super supportive family and friend network. I think that, you know, kidney donation was a bit more common, so I don't think anyone really thought too oddly about that. Of course, family is always a little bit worried when you're going to undergo surgery that you don't need to have, but they supported me. The liver was a little bit more difficult. It's a little riskier, more involved the surgery. And of course, I had to travel halfway across the country to do it. But again, you know, you get the couple odd people who say, well, what if somebody we know needs part of your liver someday? And my response was just, well, if everybody thought that way, there'd be a lot of people dying waiting for organs. And I'm healthy now, and it's something that I feel strongly about doing. I mean, my friends and family know me pretty well and know that once I've made up my mind about something, I'm going to do it. So they were super supportive and, you know, proud of what I was doing, to be honest.
Yeah, of course they would be. It's incredible. We've talked a little bit about on the podcast through different episodes about living donation. And like you said, sometimes people don't understand what a living donation is, what donating a kidney is, or what donating a portion of your liver is. And there's a lot of misconceptions that people have, especially I think when it comes to anonymous donors. We had Dr. Marsh on the podcast. You know, some people have thought that there's got to be something strange going on in the brains of these anonymous donors if they're willing to do this for a stranger. Have you faced any of those misconceptions? And especially when it comes to anonymous donation, is there anything that you have had to do to debunk those kind of myths that people may have had?
I definitely have had people quite, you know, in wonder about what would motivate me to do something like that. I haven't had anyone really question whether my motives were good, or, you know, whether there was something strange, but I know what you're saying. And I mean, the fact that you have to go through a fair bit of psychological testing in order to be able to proceed tells you that they want to make sure that you're, you know, completely sound of mind and you're doing this for all the right reasons. I think some of the preconceptions, you know, there's preconceptions about living donation in general, which I think I had as well until I educated myself. But just that, you know, if you donate kidney or part of your liver, your lifestyle is going to have to drastically change. And the risk is really high for the surgery. I mean, when you actually look through the statistics, they're both very, very low risk. We have amazing surgeons, transplant surgeons here in Canada, and the risk is low. There's always risk with surgery. But as far as anonymous donation, I haven't faced a lot of queries. I've had more, you know, people just say, wow, it's just incredible that you would consider going through surgery to give an organ to somebody that you have never met and probably will never meet. But to me, and I'm sure this is true of other anonymous donors, you know, I like to do what I can for people in general. I like to give back, and it doesn't really matter if I know who they are. They're sitting there on a wait list and could die if they don't get an organ. And, you know, I often liken it to, if you saw somebody drowning, you would try to help. It's not any different, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it's interesting with that, because I had a conversation with a friend about that exact example, actually, because I was telling them this about this podcast. And they said, well, of course I would help somebody who I saw in need drowning, or, you know, somebody who was in a fire, or, you know, these extreme situations. And they said, but that's right in front of your face. And he said, the difference with, you know, kidney donation and a portion of your liver is, yes, as the general society, we know there's people out there who are living with kidney disease or living with reduced liver function who need these transplants to survive. He said, but sometimes if we're not in that circle, it's hard for us to know how we could help them. And, you know, we don't hear enough about, you know, living donation or anonymous donors. And, you know, how we get the word out to the general public about yes, there are thousands of Canadians on the wait list, and this is how you could help somebody. It's interesting to think about it from his perspective, because like you said, yes, if there's somebody right in front of me who needs help, I'll do that. But having somebody like yourself who is taking a great action on their own, and you know, really going into that research, and you've put effort into finding how you can help somebody else. Like, this didn't come as an ask to you. This was something that you stepped forward to do. I think it's you know, phenomenal and interesting that there are these people out there that do that. And I guess my very, you know, roundabout question about this is, you know, were there things throughout your life that you did that kind of led up to that decision of donating an organ? Like, did you donate blood, or, you know, were you very active in charities, or, you know, was that kind of altruism throughout your life?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think I've always, you know, been very interested in helping others. I think I can't recall, to be honest, whether I started donating blood before or after my kidney donation, but I definitely have been a blood donor. I think for me, I've always been very optimistic. I've always had a positive outlook on life, and things have always really worked out well for me. So I'm somebody who didn't go into this fearful of the procedures in any way, shape, or form. Like, I just always felt that, you know, I'm doing something good and
right,
I'll come out of this just fine. So I think that mindset had a lot to do with it, but it's hard to figure out what really drives those decisions. To me, it was just, I mean, if you look at the scenario of somebody in a fire or in a car or drowning, that's actually far more dangerous than what I did.
Yeah.
You know, I'm able to plan this and get all the testing to make sure that I'm in the best possible health to undertake this surgery and come out of it completely healthy. So I get it. I think when people have an emotional attachment to something that's right in front of them, they're more likely to act. I guess I just did enough research that I had an emotional attachment to it. And I think linking back to that childhood friend just kind of kept it alive in me. And as I, after I had done my kidney donation, I got very active with BC Transplant, and I participated in a number of campaigns at Great Actions Leave a Mark, and did some media stories about organ donation. And I think through that, I got more connected to the cause.
Yeah. And the one stat that I always love telling people when they ask me about living donation is at UHN, we have 100% survival rate for our living donors. And I mean, this didn't just start last year, right? This program has been ongoing for a very long time. So these donors are, you know, very well taken care of. And like you said, the screening is so in depth. One thing that one of the donors I was talking to actually 2 days ago said to me, I've never had a medical procedure done. I have never even had a filling. I am, you know, I'm going into this without having any idea of really what actual pain means. And he said, that's a little bit scary to me, but at the same time, you know, I'm doing this. I'm wondering if that was kind of similar to you, because a lot of donors that I talk to have not had major medical things happen to them, and probably why they're eligible to donate. But was there a fear of any of that kind of surgical risk or post-transplant pain or any of those kinds of things? Or was it kind of like a bull just, you know, pushing your way through and let's go and do it?
I had had some surgery. I had like tonsils out, and ended up having my gallbladder out actually after my kidney surgery. But yeah, I was generally healthy. I haven't had any major health issues in my life. But again, I wasn't fearful. I think the thing that concerned me the most is because I'm so active, I was concerned about whether I'd be able to get back to that as quickly as I wanted to, and also whether I'd be patient enough to properly rehabilitate, you know, on the timelines that I was supposed to. But I was. I mean, the fact that I was in good shape and fit really helped with my recovery. But yeah, strangely, I'm not fearful of surgery at all. Like, I traveled to Toronto on my own and had the surgery and had some family join me a couple days later. But Like I said, I just have this belief that it would work out, and it has.
Amazing. Now, as an anonymous donor, you donate, in the hopes that that person is going to do well and they're going to continue to live a healthy life. And doing it anonymously, for most people means it's anonymous and it's done with. But, in Canada, people can exchange letters. We've talked to people from Trillium about that letter exchange and what that's like when people receive a letter back from their recipient or their donor. What led you to write a letter and connect with your recipient, and how did that affect you?
So with both of my donations, I actually wrote letters. I donated anonymously because I didn't know anyone to donate to.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly there's an interest in potentially knowing who that person is, but I'm also okay if I never do. So I wanted to write a letter more because I just wanted to know that they were feeling better and doing better. It gives you some kind of, I guess, closure on the event. With my kidney, I wrote letters for a couple of years, and I received a letter soon after the transplant that was really, really heartwarming to read. And so I continued to write letters, and actually after 5 years got to meet my kidney recipient, and that was pretty exciting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. And I mean, we're not close. We chat and we wish each other happy kidneyversary and stuff. It was nice to know that receiving a transplant really helped them with their health. And with my liver, I've written letters, and maybe I'll get letters back, maybe I won't. I'm fine either way. I do, when I have my follow-ups with UHN, get filled in on how they're doing, and that's enough for me. There's many reasons I've learned through the course of, the last 12 years, why people might not want to meet their donor. There can be guilt. There can be different circumstances under which that they got ill. They might be nervous that somewhere down the road it fails, and that is failing their donor. So there's so many reasons that people have, and you just have to respect that. And I knew going in that, ultimately I probably would never meet this person, and that's fine.
Yeah, it's amazing to know. I mean, I'm lucky that my donor is my mom, so I can not just, say thank you to her all of the time, but also show her in my life. And, she can actually see what that transplant has done for me. So, I mean, there is a liver recipient out there somewhere who's, holding on to their scar and saying thank you to whoever my donor was, and, that being you. So, whenever I talk to donors, I always try to tell them, whether you hear from your recipient or not, we're eternally grateful for the life that you have given us the opportunity to have. And what's amazing, I think, too, is you talk a lot about your transplants. You talk a lot about the journey that you went through and how to become a living donor. But it didn't just stop at the donation. You also used your position as a business leader to initiate paid time off for donors. And I'm wondering, your personal experience, of course, I'm sure pushed, that into that other world that you were living in. But how did you have that policy? How did you move that forward? And what have you seen that impact be?
Yeah, it's the Living Donor Circle of Excellence is something that I've been involved with for quite some time now. And actually, in my previous role with FiberCo, got involved, and that was how I met the fellow who had a wife that was a liver recipient. So the initiative was really to get employers to join. It's a voluntary recognition program whereby if an employer writes a policy that will cover wages of employees who choose to be living donors at least 80% and up to, or a minimum of 4 weeks, they get recognized on the website, their business gets recognized, they have an annual event where they recognize those businesses as well. But really, it's trying to remove the financial barrier to living donation. And when I donated in 2013, my kidney, I was not in the same financial position I'm in today. I wouldn't have been able to afford to take a month off work
mm-hmm.
to undergo that procedure. But thankfully, even though the Circle of Excellence didn't exist at that time, my employer stepped up and said, you're doing a good thing. We'll cover you while you're off.
Wow.
And so that, you know, I was always very grateful for that. So when the opportunity to work with the Living Donor Circle of Excellence came about, I jumped on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I then, since that time, I'm on the executive of the Kidney Foundation board for the BC Yukon branch.
Amazing.
And they've really adopted this program and are trying to get it spreading through BC. And I'm co-chair of the committee. And we've just been on a tear, I have to say. I mean, we've got
amazing.
So Fiberco, my previous employer, I got them signed on, and I did that before I knew I was going to donate my liver. It seems like it might have been self-serving, but it wasn't. It wasn't, but I did get to benefit from it as well. And then as soon as I came over to Neptune, I you know, worked with HR to implement a policy here as well. But we've been really working. We've got municipalities, the city and District of North Vancouver, District of West Van. I live in Port Moody. Port Moody recently agreed to sign on. BC government, a number of other waterfront employers. So it's just super amazing for me to see that, you know, once people understand that this isn't a charity, this isn't an ask, this is a benefit you're giving your employees so that they don't have to use their sickness and accident time up for doing something voluntary to help others. And it's just gaining steam and traction. And it was an easy policy. I'm very willing to help others if anybody who listens to this is interested in doing that with their business. I can share our policy, and it's a simple application form. But I think knowing that you're more likely to have a recipient in your business, somebody in need,
mm-hmm.
The more of us that do this, the more likely they are to get the organ that they need and get back right. to work and be healthy.
Right. Amazing. And what I'll do too is I'll put a link in the podcast notes for the Living Donor Circle of Excellence as well, so people can go and read more information about that too, because I think a lot of companies don't know about that. I think a lot of employees don't know about that. And if, you know, there's any champions out there who are either recipients or living donors who work at a large corporation and think, hey, this would be really cool to implement here, and get that recognition for my company, I think that would be amazing to get more people doing this. Because like you said, there are financial support programs across Canada to try to make it financially neutral for people to donate. But one thing that is often very small is the support that you get for time lost from work, right? That money that you lose while being at work, it's not anywhere close to the compensation that you would have being at work. And I mean, if that is the barrier to you donating, I mean, we need to do more across the country to ensure that living donors are able to step forward and worry about, you know, the smaller things like making sure their house is clean or they have meals in the freezer to come home to so they don't have to cook, or somebody to look after their cat, versus, you know, worrying about having to financially bounce back after donating organs. So I think this work is incredible that you're doing.
Yeah, it's an amazing initiative, honestly. And like I said, I mean, anytime I actually educate somebody that I know that's an employer on it, they're like, this is a no-brainer. But it's just getting the word out there. So I think that's great if you put a link on there, Candace.
Mm-hmm. So going back to your, you know, your personal journey with all of this, I love talking to people post-transplant as well about their shift and, you know, how this has impacted their life. And many donors actually tell me that it was such a gift to them to be able to donate, that they felt honored to be able to be the person who got to do it. And I'm wondering if your perspective on life or altruism or even your personal identity changed after both of your transplants.
Absolutely. I think my outlook changed quite substantially. I mean, it's hard to describe how it feels to know that you've been able to hopefully save somebody's life or at least give them a far better quality of life. And I think when you live with that every day, it's harder to be down about things. It's easy to kind of reflect back on that and think, you know, what am I sweating the small stuff for when other people are going through what they're going through? And it just makes me have a lens of what else can I do? I'm super fortunate being at Neptune that the company values here align so well with my own. And Neptune is absolutely fabulous about giving back to the community. And so it's been a really exciting sort of transition for me in coming here about just over a year and a half ago to be able to work with this group and find ways to give back in the community. And it every aspect of my life, I think I have that lens. What can I do? Because it feels good to do good things for other people. And it lifts your mood, it lifts your spirit, and it does the same for the people around you, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking to Dr. Marsh about altruistic donors and altruism in society in general, she was talking about that, you know, the goodness and hope and, you know, believing that people are truly good at our core. And, you know, taking part in something like donating an organ must give you hope that there are other people out there who are doing, you know, small or large acts of kindness and how that's impacting other people. And I know not everyone can donate an organ. Myself as a kidney recipient, I actually asked my nephrologist, well, my liver's fine. Can I donate a chunk of that? And he said, no, unfortunately you can't. But, you know, being in this circle of people who are so altruistic and, you know, thinking about others, it does change your step and it changes how you think about the world and in a world that sometimes can really bring us down and make us think that, you know, it's not all good out there. And I mean, I don't mean to paint the landscape that yes, it is all rainbows, but there's a lot of good out there. And I mean, have you met a lot of other living donors or families who have been part of this process?
I have, yeah. I've met a number of donors. One from out your way who had to donate liver to her son on very short notice. I've met other kidney donors, one other double donor that I've met. And yeah, you definitely get a sense of community in all of that. But I've met a ton of recipients too that I'm quite close to, people that are waiting. And so I think that really brings about that emotional connection for me, is just knowing that, you know, I've got these networks now and I will do what I can to try to help them get the organ that they need.
I always say to people, it's a family that I don't want somebody to have to be part of as a transplant recipient. But once you're part of this group, it's the best family in the world. I think entrance to this family as a living donor is very much encouraged, of course. But you're right. It's a group of a remarkable people and also different as well. You would think that maybe living donors were kind of one type of person, but so unique and so different, and everybody coming from different lenses and different walks of life. And I'm wondering, for people who are listening, who may have never thought about becoming a donor, or maybe somebody out there who is inspired but unsure or hesitant about becoming a donor, do you have any practical or emotional advice that you would offer somebody considering living donation?
Yeah, I do. I think do your research. I mean, what really helped me was as I, you know, read more and more about initially kidney donation. You're learning about how many people are waiting and how many people don't make it until they get a kidney. Mm-hmm. But B, you learn about what are the risks, what is the process that you have to go through to make sure that your risk is extremely low, how, you know, doctors feel about performing surgery on healthy people. And, you know, that's a heavy burden to them. It put me at peace with the process. I think it's just, there's so many resources out there, and there's a lot of even social media groups that consist of donors and recipients that provide a lot of information on what their experience was. Talk to other donors. If you're considering being a donor, reach out to me or reach out to other donors and find out exactly what the healing process was like. I mean, I realize that everybody's is different, but I think that is quite reassuring when you hear about people's real life experiences. But being armed with information is the best thing possible.
Amazing. And is there anything that you would want people to know either about your journey or about living donation in general that maybe I didn't ask you about today?
I think I always struggle for the words with this because I don't want to say it was easy. Surgeries are not easy and recovery is not easy, but I think that there's this fear, like I said, that lifestyle has to totally change and that life will not be the same afterwards. I don't do anything differently today than I did prior to my either of my surgeries. I'm very active. I remained playing soccer until my knees decided that I couldn't anymore. It had nothing to do with my transplants.
Amazing.
You know, kidney surgery is often laparoscopic. Your scars are very, very minimal. I had some worry about what my liver scar would look like, and it's fabulous. I love it. It's just a midline incision that makes me look like my abs are better than they are. So I think that when you talk to people that have done it, I don't know anyone, any donor who has said that they wish that they didn't. So I feel just like I'm more emotionally connected to everything after having undergone those processes and met the people that I've met. And honestly, I mean, I'm fortunate to be in a position of influence in the business that I'm in. And so I really try to use my voice as much as I can. I don't love speaking in public, but I love to share the message about living donation, because I think the more people hear about it, the more they think, hey, why couldn't I do that? At the end of the day, those are the things I'm going to be proud of. Yeah, I love my career, but it's the giving back and helping others that are the most meaningful things to me.
Amazing. And you mentioned that scar, or those now multiple scars from kidney and liver. When you look at them, is there something that you feel about your scars? Do they mean anything to you?
I love them. Yeah. I mean, I wear them with pride. The Great Actions Leave a Mark campaign, I hadn't donated my liver yet at that point, but it's really donors showing their scars and recipients showing their scars. And to me, it's just something that I've done that I'm very proud of. And, you know, no matter what other giving I do, it will probably not match that. So yeah, I wear them proudly.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Megan, and talking about your journey and all of the advocacy that you're doing on behalf of this transplant world, because we need more people speaking about it and destigmatizing the process and really showing how amazing it is to be part of living donation. And you mentioned to check out Great Actions Leave a Mark. You can listen to Megan's story. You can listen to lots of donor stories on there. But thank you so much for joining us today, Megan. I really appreciate it. And we'll put some links in our bio as well for people to learn more.
Fantastic. And thank you for allowing me to speak. I really, like I said, I love to have the platform to speak about living donation. And if I can help educate anyone on the donor process and experience, then I'm happy to do so.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Living Transplant Podcast. If you did, please rate, leave us a review, and share with your friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Living Transplant wherever you're listening today. If you have any ideas for podcast episodes, please reach out to us at livingorgandonation@uhn.ca. For information about living organ donation, you can visit us at www.livingorgandonation.ca. Special thanks to Bespoke Production for editing this episode and for production support. I'm your host, Candace Coughlin. Thanks for spending your time with us.